Rabbi Aaron Zellberg, a very, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Howard. Thanks for having me.
A great pleasure. I'm going to have to ask you to try and speak a bit louder. For some reason, it's not a perfect line. But give me your thoughts around this.
I just feel that, look, in general, there's a very fine line between being worried on the one hand, and on the other hand, remaining active in our own respective lives. And that goes, that speaks to this very point. You know, there's an opportunity for all of us to be proactive and not just to be on the defensive regarding this pandemic. And I've been very blessed this week to be approached by a group of people that have started such initiatives.
So tell us about, so before we even go there to some of the initiatives that might be out there in different ways, and we've just spoken about one way where a couple of people, one of them including Kathy Kayla, said, hold on a minute, how do we protect older people? Let's go and chat to Pick n Pay. We've got a great idea. Doesn't cost anybody anything. Maybe it costs Pick n Pay a little bit more because they've got to open an hour earlier. But at least we're doing good. So it's not all about donating money and doing. It's actually just thinking of ways that we can make help people out, isn't it?
100%. I know that in our own shul we set up a buddy system that allows people to volunteer if they would like to. And obviously this is taking into account health concerns. But if they wanted to volunteer to help out people that are in quarantine. There's so much that every single person can do. It doesn't have to be big things. It can be small things, just offering a lift or offering a delivery service or just a phone call to say hello and how are you doing?
Yeah, I think the part of it also that is bothering me or that's really concerning me is the sense of isolation and alienation. I know that we were looking, I was looking at it yesterday, and we were going through a list of about 160 people, and we were saying, you know, quite a few of these people live by themselves, and if there's some form of isolation or lockdown or whatever we want to call it, it means that they are going to be functioning completely on their own. And that can be very, very lonely. And we've got to make sure that we're reaching out to people on an ongoing basis. So perhaps maybe what everybody can do is just spend a few minutes thinking about people around them in their circles who maybe they don't speak to every week or every month even, but maybe during this time, if people are alienated or if we are forced to remain in our homes, then that perhaps they can reach out to them. And I think shuls are communities, churches, mosques, you know, I think these are good starts because there's people at the center of every community. And then as you go out towards the periphery, I imagine there are people that kind of pop in every now and then, but those are the people that we might need to reach out.
Agreed. And I think I've been thinking about it the last couple of days. You see, not only South Africa, but also overseas, when public gatherings, limitations are placed on these public gatherings, so people start to be concerned, what's going to happen to the community? What's going to happen to the shul? What's going to happen to the organization? But in truth, these organizations, shuls, communities are so much more than just the gathering. And in truth, how these communities and organizations allow themselves to evolve, to remain relevant in people's lives over the next couple of days and weeks and perhaps even months ahead will really illustrate, you know, the human spirit and certainly the Jewish spirit. I'm on 100% the same page.
Yeah, and in fact, I think you're making a very, very profound point here. And that is that how communities behave over the next 6 to 8 weeks will determine their relevance in the future. I mean, it's a bold statement, but I believe, and maybe you weren't saying it to that extent, but that's kind of what you're saying, and I think it's right.
Look, I'm not sure that what an effect it'll have in the very long term, but certainly in the short to medium term, if anyone wants to remain relevant, regardless of whether it's a shul or a public organization or a school, you need to remain relevant in these times. Now, if your entire relevance was based upon davening, as an example, or prayer services,
right,
or physical classes, one's going to find it very difficult and challenging to be relevant in the next couple of weeks and months ahead. But if we all work together to think of innovative ways to be there for each other, not physically, but even from a distance, so then we remain relevant. And in fact, we might even be more relevant than ever.
I think so too. I think so too. Zanati, what's your thought on it?
Yeah, no, I also do think that I love the, just the human spirit that's coming out of this whole thing.
Mm.
You know, just finding the positive, the positives, and just communities coming together and helping other people and looking outside of the actual communities as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, it's so interesting because we spend some, and I think that is one of the messages of this virus, is that we've been running and doing and faster and faster, and we've been told, as I said yesterday, just to stop. Just to be still.
Mm.
Now that we are still, maybe we need to take that moment and to look around us and see how we can reach out to other people. Lee says a lot of the elderly, normal life is one of isolation. Lee, I absolutely agree with you, but I think that it is only going to be compounded now by this fear. So imagine an elderly person living alone, but now also has the fear of if they do go out, what is possibly out there. Ian says the Chai FM helpline has a reach out initiative where, in addition to being inbound call line, counselors and particularly people who are alone are reaching out in an effort to ensure that they are not forgotten. So that's incredible. I know, as I say, a lot of organizations are starting to do this. And maybe Rabbi Zilberg, maybe one of the answers is, you know, I know that you've got a WhatsApp group. Maybe on that WhatsApp group you could start having, you know, posting maybe online lessons, shiurim, ideas, even TED Talks, things that are interesting for people just to keep busy at a time that maybe they can't be.
Agreed. And the truth is, the last few days we've been exploring loads of different technology options. And in fact, there's probably a greater opportunity now for more people to learn than regularly, because so many people have so much more time. And
yeah.
So there's a tremendous opportunity to actually increase the amount of learning and the amount of connection, just in a different form and a different fashion.
Right. Incredible. I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to hear, is your community, your workplace, your environment, I don't know, your school, or what are they doing that is different, that we can pass on some ideas and share ideas for communities and for people to try and get more involved. You mentioned earlier some amazing initiatives. Somebody approached you the last few days as well. Just tell us a little bit more about that.
So just two initiatives that I think are really special. The one, I got a call from a Robin Garen, a good friend of Saul and Batsheva Jasanovsky, and she together, I'll just mention those that came together to do it because I think it's really important to, is she together with Daniel Harrisburg, Kaylee Epstein, the Brand Infusion team, and Olivia Croc and others, put together what they're calling Corona Care, which is a platform to connect concerned South Africans with vulnerable groups during this pandemic. So they're not really starting a new charity, but they're creating a facility, a funnel, to help and enable other charities that are already in existence to do their job better. And they put together a list of items that they would like people to donate that will be distributed to less fortunate in the community. And it's a great way to be proactive and get involved outside of our own little bubble.
Yeah.
And another organization, as an example, which I'm sure many are aware of, is FeedSA. Romy Levenstein does amazing work with FeedSA, her together with her team. And they also are putting together a hamper pack to be distributed, their organization specifically in Alice, but CoronaCare throughout South Africa and the Western Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, as well as Gauteng.
I think that's incredible. So there's two organizations that you're referring to. One is CoronaCare, and they're on Facebook, I believe.
They are on Facebook.
So we're going to see if we can find, get hold of them. And then the other one is FeedSA, which as you say, functions primarily in Alex. But that is about helping. Because, again, you know, it's the vulnerable in our community, in our greater community, who are going to be severely, severely affected. There is absolutely no doubt that there's a tsunami of unhappiness and of suffering that, and which is not necessarily about the illness of the virus itself, but everything else that follows. As people are unable maybe to work, then of course they might say to the help that they don't need help. It's just a terrible and so the vulnerable in our community, as always, sadly, are the most affected by this. And if we can try and find ways, and vulnerable, by vulnerable I don't mean only necessarily from a financial aspect, but also from a loneliness aspect, from an isolation point of view, we just need to start looking up over the parapet and seeing how we can help people around us. And I applaud you, Rabbi Zilberg, for starting to do that already, looking up, saying how can we help people in your own community, wider than that, and raise awareness. I think it's a very, very important very, very important thing to be able to do, and to do. Ian says, I'm personally driving an initiative to utilize technology to connect our elderly with loved ones, both locally and internationally, who just want to connect and check in using Skype or Zoom with while social distancing and isolation is in place. If anyone is interested in being part of this initiative, please contact me. That's ianbess@me.com. Ian, definitely, I can tell you, my wife is one of them. She has some friends at Sandringham Gardens who she's not able to visit, and is both they and she are very, very perturbed by it, and looking for ways to try and connect, because telephones don't always work given certain hearing impairments, etc. Rabbi Zilberg, leave us with a final thought, and then we're definitely going to be checking in with you next week to see how these things, how some of your initiatives are going along.
Thank you, Howard. I think the main point is to say that, you know, the knee-jerk reaction going to isolation, and most probably from a medical point of view on some level, it's certainly true there. But going into isolation doesn't have to be a contradiction to remaining active in community. So if we can encourage everyone to remain active members of their respective communities and think of ways to still remain relevant in each other's lives, as I said earlier, I believe very strongly we'll see the real value of community as the next weeks and months unfold.
Absolutely right. I couldn't agree with you more, and well done on coming forward to talk about that.